بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. On this night, normally we read out this poem of Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Hassan Saab Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, which is beautiful poetry in Urdu. In this poem, Hazrat Mufti Saab Rahmatullah Alayh wants to convey the message that the entire creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is like a mirror. A mirror that is reflecting the greatness and the grandeur of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In other words, the entire creation is witness to the qudrat, the power, the grandeur, and the magnificence of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The more we ponder over the beauty and greatness of the creation, the more we understand that if the creation is so beautiful, then how much more greater will the Creator be? And this is something that is encouraged in the Quran Karim too, that we ponder over the creation of Allah Ta'ala in order to gain recognition of Allah. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wal nahar al-ayati li ulil albab. Allah says that in the creation of the heavens and the earth, in the changing of night and day, there are signs for those people of intellect, that if a person intelligently ponders over his creation, he will recognize the beauty and the greatness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Ponder over your own selves, your bodies, the internal system of the body how it operates, and you will appreciate the bounties of Allah and the greatness of Allah. In one hadith too, تَفَكَّرُوا فِي خَلْقِ اللَّهِ. Ponder over the creation of Allah Ta'ala in order to gain His recognition. So that's why in this poem you will hear Mufti Sahib speaking about the sun, moon and the stars, about the mountains and valleys, about flowers and fruit, and also about prominent scholars of Islam, their intelligence, their service to deen. That when you ponder over all these matters, you will realize that when there is so much beauty, so much achievement contained in this creation, then we cannot even begin to imagine the greatness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So that's why the poem is entitled Shahid al-Qudrat, witness to the power and the greatness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Every makhluk, every creation bears testimony to the greatness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The poem can only be appreciated truly when a person understands the Urdu language. But to facilitate it for people who do not understand Urdu, this book has been translated. And if brothers remember, those who were in Etikaf, I think 2 or 3 years ago, we gave as a gift copies of the English version of this poem to all the people in Etikaf so they can refer to those books. I'm sure they still have it in the shelves. So one should pick up that book, it's in English, together with an explanation, commentary, because each of these couplets requires pages and pages to truly put forward the true meaning of it. When did Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh compose this poem? This was also amazing. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, in his old age, when his vision, eyesight was weakening, he was beginning to lose his eyesight. His attendants, many people recommended that Hazrat Mufti Sahib has some eye surgery done. Perhaps it can correct the problem. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh initially was not interested because these are people of Allah. Their focus was on the ahadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that man ibtalaytu bi habibatay fa sabara awastuhu bihima al jannah. A hadith of Qudsi. Nabi Kareem sallallahu relays the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala says that the person whom I put to a test with regard to his two beloved assets, referring to the two eyes, a very precious asset. If I put him to a test, in other words, if I take away his eyesight and he is patient, then in lieu of that eyesight, I will grant him Jannat. So the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi had this in front of him. Why should I lose my chance to earn Jannat? But his Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi, then gave a command, an order, that have the surgery done, because I am also old and senile. My eyesight also has failed me. If I need to open some kitab, some book, research some important masala, I am unable to do so. So he said to his Khalifa Muhtisab that you are going to be my eyes. If I need to check on something, you will open the kitab and research for me. If you lose your eyesight, then who will I turn to? I've got great confidence in you. So this was the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, that because it was a hukam, command of his Shaykh, immediately obeyed. And he went for the surgery. Surgical procedure took place on Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi's eyes in Calcutta and in London as well. Both places eyes were operated on. In Calcutta, Hazrat Mufti Sahib had to spend about 4 months. We also had the good fortune to stay with him for those 4 months in khidmat. But prior to that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib also had some surgery done in London, in a London hospital. That is where he composed his poetry. That after the procedure was carried out, normally after such an operation on the eyes, the surgeons put a patch, bandage over the eyes. Eye should not be exposed to light for a few days. Then they remove the patch to determine whether the operation was successful. So while Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi's eyes were closed with the patch, with the bandage, in the stillness of the night, Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi used to relate that I heard a voice from the unseen, as if it is a divine voice telling me, "Tumne mujhe dekha hai? Have you seen me?" Something to Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, that this is a question from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you seen your Creator? Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi replied, "Haan, maine tumhe dekha hai. Yes, I have seen you." So the question came, "Where have you seen me?" In reply to that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib composes poetry that, "I have seen you, that is your greatness, in the sun, moon and the stars, in the mountains, in the valleys, in the flowers, in the trees, in the expertise of the Islamic scholars. I have seen you, that is, I have seen your beauty, your greatness, and from that we can recognize that if the creation is so beautiful, how much more beautiful the Creator will be." So in other words, the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi is not making a claim that he has seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is in fact saying, by looking at the creation is a manifestation of the Qudrat and the greatness of Allah ta'ala. In the creation, I have seen the greatness of Allah. That is what is meant by seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we were in Calcutta with Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, at that point of time, already this poem was composed, but it was not written down. It was in a memory bank of Hazrat Mufti Sahib in his mind. Occasionally in some majalis, he would read out a few couplets, but he was very secretive initially about this. If he noticed someone taking out a notebook, noting down some of the poetry, immediately would stop. Because obviously, of people getting the misunderstanding, if they don't understand the poem, that perhaps he's making a claim that he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Mufti Sahib immediately remained silent. But eventually, upon the insistence of his attendants, Khuddam, Khulafa, Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi agreed to dictate this poem, and that's how it came on paper in black and white. When the operation took place in London, and after a few days, the bandages patched over the eyes were removed, the surgeon was there. He wanted to know whether the operation was successful, whether the Mufti Sahib is focusing correctly. So he showed two fingers to Mufti Sahib, wanting to determine that is the operation successful. If it's successful, he will say that you are showing me two fingers. Otherwise, there's double vision, he'll say there's four fingers. If there's deficiency, maybe the two fingers appear as one finger. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah, through an interpreter, replied, they tell the surgeon that he wants to know how many fingers there are. Tell him the amount of fingers is half of the sum of 1 plus 3. He didn't say 2. Half of the sum of 1 plus 3. In other words, add 1 plus 3, that is 4. Half of that is 2. So the surgeon also began to crop cop and wonder that why is he going in circles? First you are disappointed that perhaps he gave the incorrect answer. But when he thought deeply, he knew it's a correct answer. Two fingers. So he asked the interpreter, ask your leader, your alim, why did he go indirectly to say it's two fingers? Now the Mufti Sahib explained through the interpreter, tell the surgeon that this is the reality of every digit, every number. Take any number. It is always half of the sum of the preceding and the subsequent number. For example, in this case, he wanted to get the answer 2. So before 2, the previous number is 1. And the subsequent number after 2 is 3. So 1 plus 3 is 4. Half of 4 is 2. Take any number. Take 5. The number before 5 is 4. The number after 5 is 6. 4 plus 6, 10. Half of that 5, you still get 5. Take even 100. The number before 100 is 99. The number after 100, 101. Add them together. 99 plus 101, 200. Half of that is 100. So the surgeon, through the interpreter, tells the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, they tell him that we have been through medical college, medical school. In our schooling days, we studied maths, additional maths, calculus, trigonometry, algebra, but no lecturer, teacher ever taught us this reality of the numbers. So this shows the brilliance of Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi. Hazrat Mufti Sahib was a man of every field. In one bayan, on one occasion, we were also with Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi. He spoke about the disunity of this ummah, that in the time of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu ajma'in, in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was great unity among the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu ajma'in. But now if you look over the entire world, even though the numbers of Muslims are increasing, they say the fastest growing religion in the world today is Islam, numbering over 1 billion. But something to lament over. In spite of the numbers increasing, but our unity is in tatters. And this is the ploy of our enemies, the old policy of divide and rule, wanting to split the Muslim ummah. If you look in Syria, a war-torn country, many of the battles taking place are between Muslims. Muslims sharing the blood of Muslims. So this is their policy with the conspiracies splitting the Muslim ummah. So in the bayan as a Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, in order to illustrate, he gave the example of the unity of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu majma'in in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the unity of Muslims today, or rather disunity. To explain that, as Mufti Sahab rahmatullah said, that the unity of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain was like the 9 times table. And the disunity today is like the 8 times table. Hazrat then explained, if you take the 9 times multiplication table, 1 times 9 is 9, 2 9s are 18, 3 9s are 27, 4 9s are 36, 5 9s are 45. So the numbers are increasing from 9 to 18 to 27 to 36 to 45. And at the same time, if you add the digits together, you will find it's constant. 1 times 9 is 9, 2 9s are 18, there's 2 digits, add them together, 1 plus 8 is still 9. 3 9s are 27, 2 plus 7, still 9. 4 9s are 36, 3 plus 6, still 9. 5 9s are 45, 4 plus 5, still 9. So this was the unity of the Sahaba. As their numbers increase, the unity remained constant all the time. On the other hand, today, the Muslim Ummah is like the 8 times table. 1 times 8 is 8, 2 8s are 16, 3 8s are 24, 4 8s are 32, 5 8s are 40. So here too the numbers are increasing from 8 to 16, to 24, to 32, to 40. But here if you add the digits together, then the number is decreasing. 1 times 8 is 8, 2 8s are 16, 1 plus 6 is 7. Decrease by 1. 3 8s are 24. 2 plus 4 is 6. Still decreased. 4 8s are 32. 3 plus 2 is 5. 5 8s are 40. 4 plus 0 is 4. So we're coming down from 8 to 7 to 6 to 5 to 4. So this is the case of the Muslim Ummah. Numbers are increasing, but the unity is decreasing. Unity is in tatters. So this beautiful example as Mufti Sahib rahmatullah gave in one bayan. People that sat in the company of as Mufti Sahib rahmatullah also knew as Mufti Sahib was very witty. When the need arose, he would scrub a person down, do some panel beating with that person. On one occasion, a ghair muqallid, who doesn't follow any mazhab, their habit, when they make salam and shake hands, they will only shake with one hand. It's not haram to shake with one hand, but it's contrary to the sunnah. We are taught, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, in Kitab al-Istidhan, he's got a special section where he emphasizes the sunnah of shaking with two hands, not with one hand. So one ghair muqallid came to us, the Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi, and he knew that Mufti Sahib is a muqallid. He'll give two hands, want to catch hold of both my two hands. So what he did, he extended one hand, the other hand he put behind his back. So the Mufti Sahib must not grab it by mistake. So the Mufti Sahib, before shaking hands, went around his back like that. So he said, ab kya dekh rahe? So Hazrat said, main dekh raha hu ki janab ka dusra haath kis khidmat mein mashghool hai. He asked the Mufti Sahib, what are you looking at? As the Mufti Sahib said, I'm looking, what is the other hand engaged in at the back? Scratching something perhaps? So obviously the man was embarrassed. This was the wittiness of the Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi. On one occasion, as the Mufti Sahib's younger days, while he was in Kanpur at Jamil Ulum, he taught there. Before coming to Deoband, so in one sitting, someone once asked Hazrat Mufti Sahib, what is your age? Hazrat was still young, whatever his age was. He said his age. So the person looked at the beard of Hazrat Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi. The hairs of the beard were turning white, premature, graying of the hairs. So looking at the beard of Hazrat Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi, after having asked what is your age, so in Urdu he said, کہ داری سے تو آپ کی عمر زیادہ معلوم ہوتی ہے. In English we will say it means, what he was trying to convey, that gauging by your beard, it's turned white already, You should be much older than the age that you showed us or that you told us. Literally, if you translate that in English, Kedari se to aapki umar zyada maloom hoti, it means that you look older than your beard. So the Mufti Sahib said, that's natural. Every person is older than his beard. A beard comes out maybe at the age of 16. So your beard is hardly 1 year old, but you are already 16 years old. So every person is older than his beard. This was the word of the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi. One Shia came to the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi. And he said, boasting, that you will never find a Shia leaving his mazhab. He is very staunch. He will remain on that Shiat till his dying breath. So here in India, when you see people turning apostate, na'uzu billah, someone becoming a Hindu, Muslims turning apostate, some Muslims becoming Hindus, some becoming Qadianis, also apostate. So the Shia is boasting that generally you will find that the people Muslims turning apostate are Sunnis. A Shia will never become a Qadiani. He will never become a Hindu. He will never leave his creed. As the Mufti Sahib said, listen brother, the reason for that is that Shaitan doesn't want to waste his time. Because the Shia is already astray. He's already lost his Iman. A thief will never enter an empty house. He'll go into a home where he can steal. So because a Sunni has true Iman in his heart, Shaitan will attack that heart to try to make him turn apostate. He won't waste his time, behind a Shia. On one occasion, Al Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, in one majlis I was also present, Hazrat mentioned that you will never find a Hafiz among the Shias. Allah Ta'ala has deprived them of this bounty. And the reason is simple. A nation that swears at the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, that slanders the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in, that accuses our mother Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha of fornication, a people that do not regard our Quran as a true Quran, they say there is something missing in there. How can they ever become Hafiz? If you are a Shia reading Quran, maybe he's memorized a few surahs, perhaps able to read that, but the entire Quran, a Shia will never memorize. So on that, as the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah mentioned, on one occasion, some Shias, in order to prove the Sunnis wrong, they offered a large sum of money to a Sunni young man who was Hafiz of the Quran. That you go in front of the audience and tell them to test you from any place in the Quran, tell them that you are a Shia, yet you have memorized the entire Quran. As the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi says, for a pittance, for a few coppers, this young man sold his Iman. He forgot the entire Quran. So look at the unfortunate state. Today, we have to monitor our youth. In the colleges, in the universities, Shias are working overtime to indoctrinate our youth, boys and girls, to pull them into the web of Shiism. And the dangling carrot, the carrot that they dangle, is always mut'ah, which is very appealing to the youth. Mut'ah means, they say you're getting married for a short period of time. They call it nikah. They call it marriage. But in reality, it's a veiled form of zina and prostitution. That for a small fee, for a sum of money, you get married to a woman for 1 month, for example. That is mut'ah. In Sharia, that's haram. Nikah contract should be something permanent. They tell the dying breath, they should stay together unless something awry happens and the marriage breaks. It's a different situation. But we cannot stipulate at the time of the marriage that I'm getting married for 2 weeks or for 1 month and so forth. So this is a veiled, disguised form of zina, prostitution. It is not a marriage per se. Because if you study the Shia Mazhab, in the Nikah Muta, the obligations that the marriage contract imposes on the couple, there are none of those obligations. In our Shariat, Ahl Sunnah Wal Jamaat, you get married, the husband has obligation of providing maintenance for his wife. In the Shia Mazhab, the husband has no such obligation. According to Ahl Sunnah Wal Jamaat, when a couple gets married, if either of them has to die, the other party inherits from the deceased. In the Shia Mazhab, if they got married for 1 month, during the course of the month, one of them dies, no inheritance. In fact, according to their books, within that month, if the woman has to conceive, if she falls pregnant and then later gives birth, that child is not attributed to the father. Whereas in an Islamic marriage, the lineage is linked to the father. So this is not a marriage. It is zina, a veiled form of prostitution. For a sum of money, like you go to a red light district, for a sum of money, you get your favors from the lady. Same thing happened here. Just an outward window display, a facade, saying it's a marriage, but it's not a marriage. In one majlis, as the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah explained, that in order to make this muta appealing, the Shias, they actually fabricate a hadith. They attribute lies to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to the Shias, na'uzu billah, it's very easy for a person to reach the rank of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it's written in their books, if a person makes one time muta, he gets the rank of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. If he makes two times muta with the second woman, he gets the rank of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. If he makes three times muta, he gets the rank of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And if he makes four times muta, he gets the rank, na'uzu billah, of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man cannot even reach the dust of the feet of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Leave aside reaching the elevated status of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one fabricated hadith they say that after this temporary nikah, which they call mut'a, if a person copulates with his wife after having relations, when he takes a ritual bath to get clean, they also fabricated hadith. They say for every drop of water used in that shower, Allah Ta'ala creates one farishta, one angel, that will make istighfar for that person. What a fabrication. So the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah, when he related this, he said, should I add on to that as a form of anandam? Should I say something? People said, yes, Hazrat, say. So Hazrat said, if for argument's sake, if this were to be true also, that for every drop of water used in a shower, if a farishta is created to make istighfar, seek pardon for the Shia's sins, as the Mufti Sahib says, if all these farishtas seek pardon for their sins, maghfirat for the Shia, up to the day of Qiyamah, still he will not be forgiven if he dies as a Shia. So we have to protect our youth out there, in this country too, in a very subtle way. They are penetrating through to our youth. We need to educate them about the correct aqaid, beliefs, and save them from this great fitna. So this was the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi. And when it came to Islah, there too the Mufti Sahib was very stern. One person that graduated as an alim, he was a student of the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, sitting down to have a meal, and the student picked up the glass with the left hand, contrary to the sunnah, to drink the water. Hazrat Mufti Sahib very politely, in a compassionate way, told him, that we do not drink water in this way. It is contrary to the sunnah. So he heard, took the glass in the right hand. On another occasion, second occasion, the same scholar, same alim, young alim, because he had developed this habit, again he took the glass in the left hand. This time as it was a bit more stern, he said to him, "Were you not told that this is contrary to the sunnah?" Immediately, he took the glass in his right hand. When the third time he did this, then Hazrat Muhtisam slapped him hard on the back. This time, not a word was said. He understood himself. So he says, from that day onwards, I never took the glass in my left hand. So this was the way Hazrat Muhtisam rahmatullahi used to make Islah also. So nonetheless, this poem of Hazrat Muhtisam rahmatullahi shahid al-Qudrat, that the entire creation is witness to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, we gave out the books to the people in Atikaf, they have it at home. They can read the translation. I gave the gist of it. Hazrat Muhtisam speaking about many things created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all this creation is a manifestation of the Qudrat, the power of Allah ta'ala. In the siparas of the Quran, we see the beauty of Allah in the eloquence, in Iman, the beauty of Iman, the great place, Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. In all of this, we see the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after mentioning these different types of creation of Allah ta'ala, after every two couplets, as the Mufti Sahib says, "Maine tumhe dekha," I have seen you. In other words, I have seen a manifestation of your Qudrat, your power, in all these things that you have created. So we go through the poem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qur'an ke siparo mein, ihsan ke isharo mein, ima ke sunwaro mein, मासूम प्यारों में मैंने तुम्हें देखा है, मैंने तुम्हें देखा है। सिद्दीक की शफ़क़त में, फारूक की सत्वत में, उस्मान की इफ़्फ़त में, करार की हैबत में, मैंने तुम्हें देखा है, मैंने तुम्हें देखा है। अहमद की रिवायत में, मालिक की दिरायत में, सुफिया की सकाहत में, नुमा की फकाहत में, मैंने तुम्हें देखा है, मैंने तुम्हें देखा है। मासूर दुआओं में, मंसूर सनाओं में, मामूर हवाओं में, मसहूर फिजाओं में, मैंने तुम्हें देखा है, मैंने तुम्हें देखा है। खुर्शीद के तारों में, रातों के सितारों में, आँखों के खुमारों में, यारों के नजारों में, मैंने तुम्हें देखा है, मैंने तुम्हें देखा है। गुलजार में खारों में, कोहसार में गारों में, गुम्बद में मीनारों में, खलवत में हजारों में, मैंने तुम्हें देखा है, मैंने तुम्हें देखा है। कारी की तिलावत में, काजी की अदालत में, مفتی کی دیانت میں، غازی کی شہادت میں، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، زاہد کی رداؤں میں، عابد کی صداؤں میں، ساجد کی نداؤں میں، شاہد کی اداؤں میں، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، خالد کی شجاعت میں، حاتم کی سخاوت میں، صحبہ کی بلاغت میں، مجنوں کی نقاہت میں، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، گنگوہ کے رہبر میں، اجمیر کے دلبر میں، سرہند کے سرور میں، کشمیر کے انور میں، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، سلمہ میں فزاری میں، عروہ میں غفاری میں، مسلم میں بخاری میں، سالم میں بہاری میں، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، بچپن میں جوانی میں، شاہی میں شبانی میں، آزاد بیانی میں، پابند زبانی میں، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، تسبیح کے دانوں میں، ترجیل کے شانوں میں، مسجد کے نشانوں میں، خاموش فسانوں میں، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، ہر ماہ کے مہماں میں، ہر قلب کے ارماں میں، ہر درد کے درماں میں، ہر شاہ کے فرماں میں، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، روزوں میں، نمازوں میں، عیدوں میں، جنازوں میں، ریلوں میں، جہازوں میں، نازوں میں، نیازوں میں، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، ذاکر میں، مراقب میں، زائر میں، مصاحب میں، ناظر میں، محاسب میں، غافر میں، معاقب میں، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے، میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے. Allah give us all inshallah the tawfiq and the good fortune to recognize Allah Ta'ala through His creation, and grant us His proximity, grant us His true love, so that we can obey all His commands and fulfill His direction to also follow the teachings of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah make us among those fortunate people. We have the last odd night tonight, 29th. Let us not allow it to slip through our fingers. Utilize the opportunity, maximum benefit. It may well be the last night of this month of Ramadan, curtains coming down, time to say farewell to this month. So let us inshallah spend as much time as possible tonight, tilawat of the Quran, dhikr, durood sharif, engage in dua for ourselves, our families, our children, the entire Muslim ummah at large. Make dua for the entire world also. Allah Ta'ala grant them also hidayat to see the beauty of Islam and to embrace this beautiful deen of Islam that Allah has blessed us with. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.